We're kicking off the Child Charmer series with focusing on educational change. I really wanted to start off with discussions around education, as this is where I am predominantly spending most of my time right now as an educational behaviour consultant. The core of my work centres around providing professional development for educators, supporting families and schools with kids who are struggling with emotional dysregulation and stress responses, aka big blow-ups, within school settings, and supporting my beloved adoption and permanent care community with educating staff about trauma-responsive practices. There is absolutely no doubt about it. Our current education system here in Australia is in crisis. The rates of families withdrawing their children from formal educational settings and opting to homeschool their kids is the highest it has ever been, with around 43,000 Aussie kids currently registered as homeschoolers. Sadly, our teachers are also leaving the profession in droves due to the lack of support and the outrageous expectations that are being placed on them. And both of these cohorts are choosing to prioritise mental health above all else. They are choosing to walk away. They yearn for a more peaceful life, one that aligns more fundamentally with their core family and educational values, one that centres at all times around supporting a child's nervous system and being able to provide relational safety. Sadly, it is a story that I can relate to on a deeply personal level, as just under 3 years ago, I had also begun my research into unschooling after enduring what could only be described as a traumatic educational experience. I had felt some of this years earlier when my daughter commenced school and she began to experience what I now know was sensory overload from wearing the itchy, scratchy, 100-year-old school uniform. And don't even get me started, as a strong female lead, about the fact that all of the girls in the school community were required to wear a dress all year round. They were also instructed that they could not do cartwheels or hang upside down on the monkey bars. Oh my days, I kid you not. Now, for some kids, that may not be an issue. But for kids like mine that have been raised in families that strongly encourage autonomy, I felt trapped within a system that just did not want to let my beautiful daughter stay true to herself. "I don't want to wear a dress," she would scream at me every single morning through the biggest emotional outburst, which we rarely saw from her at home. If you have ever been a parent that has watched their child literally peel off all of their clothing after closing the front door, returning from school, in the safety of the family home, you will understand what I mean about the real impacts of sensory overload and high masking on children. And when her prep teacher informed me that my bright, happy, bubbly child did not speak at all during the day, my mama gut instinct and educational radar was pinging. Long story short, we transitioned over to another school where the kids could pretty much turn up in their PJs and they would be welcomed. And slowly but surely, the stress she had been enduring lifted and she began to show her true self to those around her. As an experienced educator, I knew all too well that if she was happy within herself, then the learning would come. And it did, slowly but surely. I kind of knew she was still struggling academically, but the meltdowns had stopped and she was skipping out the gate in the morning and coming home happily and leaving her clothing on. But none of this would come close to what else the universe had in store for our family next. Fast track a few years later to when my beautiful son commenced formal learning and immediately within the first few days came home asking me, why does she keep making me sit on the mat? I don't want to sit down, Mum. You see, Kinder, he was allowed to play outside. Most of the activities were child-focused and interest-based, and they even had a beautiful pet lizard for my little reptile-loving kid. And, to top it off, his beautiful educators absolutely adored him. In an instant, all of that was taken away, and he was expected to be able to sit for long periods of time, take part in activities that were of no interest for him, and unfortunately was met with a very punitive approach to behaviour in the classroom. At some point, he will have to learn to comply, we were told. If you want to be at our school, you must follow our school values. And once again, I was sent reeling as a specialist educator who was significantly conflicted in the messaging that was being sent to a child who had been raised in a family that had always celebrated and supported his energetic needs and big emotions. This juxtaposition in family values sent us spiraling to a very dark place, and my natural instinct as a parent was to withdraw him and keep him home, keep him safe. We saw an incredible increase in aggression and violence at home due to the inner torment, rejection, and demands that were being placed on him, demands that he could not possibly live up to. I haven't spoken much publicly about this traumatic educational experience. Firstly, because we needed time to heal and recover from what our family had endured. When we were once again trapped within a system that expected our kids to change, without even considering the ways in which they could possibly look at changing their approach, environment, or even worse, their outdated approaches to understanding behaviours within educational settings. As someone with over 26 years of experience and knowledge around trauma-informed practices and neurodiversity-affirming teaching values, I was so deeply and personally affected and confused as to why this was happening. At this stage, I have to tell you, lump in my throat, I was absolutely broken inside. I almost felt betrayed and let down by the education system that I had dedicated my entire career to, a job that I loved so much, the excitement that I had hoped my kids would experience by being part of a school community that welcomed them for who they were, and so saddened for not only what my children had endured, but for all of the other kids everywhere who were being treated the same way. The way that I was gaslit and made to feel as though it was my fault. Was I going crazy? Was I one of those teachers that would just find fault in every single school in every single way? Was I expecting too much? When I started sharing snippets of our experiences, the messages just came in droves. People everywhere telling me about their own personal experiences, the impacts on their child and the family unit, and the need for more education around understanding stress responses in children. And so for us, the diagnostic process for our children began, and it turns out I wasn't going cray-cray. Both of my beautiful kids are neurodivergent. Their beautiful brains are wired differently, and it was any wonder they tried to show me how they felt when schools tried to make them be something that they simply could not be. It all started to make sense. And the reason our kids had seemingly grown up into awesome little humans was because we were raising them using a therapeutic approach that focused on always viewing behaviour through a brain-based lens. Supporting emotional distress through co-regulation and safe attachments, and above all else, recognizing their many and amazing strengths. There is so much more to this story that I could share, but out of respect to my kids and family, I'll leave it there. And we have moved on, thankfully, and this is where the story gets really good. You see, our third school has been an integral part of our family's healing journey. They not only made a commitment to walk alongside us as we continued to navigate things, most importantly, they have never wavered in their understandings of the vital role that they played in my children's developing identity and sense of self. We started to hear things like, "We love having you at our school. Today was a bit tricky, but we cannot wait to see you again tomorrow." And my all-time personal favourite, "We just adore your kids." What a contrast, huh? Finally, somebody had seen what we had seen all along. And finally, somebody else believed in our kids as much as we did. Are there still bubbly days, as our school leaders call them? Abso-freaking-lutely. My kids, our family, we are neurodivergent, and we know all too well the fluctuation of emotions that any given day can bring. Whilst I would never wish what happened to us as a family on anyone, I need to share this story. I need to share this story as we are living proof of what happens for kids and families when schools and teachers understand behaviour through a trauma-informed lens. When kids are welcomed with open arms and therapeutically supported on the days when it is too overwhelming for them. The teamwork, open communication, partnership, and willingness to stay the course, see it through, and not giving up too soon. Because one of the things that I never lost sight of was knowing the importance of community, a need for belonging, being part of something bigger than the family unit, having other trusted adults who know your worth and who will go above and beyond to support you to feel safe at school. I knew in my heart that schools and classrooms were about so much more than reading, writing, and arithmetic. They are the next integral step in a child's life that opens them up to learning about who they are and who they ultimately will become. To all the amazing educators out there who I know go above and beyond to meet the needs of all the students in their classrooms, I want to say thank you. You are doing such important work, and I know that some days it all feels too hard. Teachers truly are the most amazing humans on the planet, if I do say so myself. I hope that by hearing our story, I will inspire you to keep pushing for change in our education system. Stay true to your fundamental beliefs about the value of our educational systems and school communities. Bring more playfulness and fun to the daily classroom routines, and never, ever lose sight of the fact that every single one of those kids in your classroom has a brain that you are shaping and growing every single day. Your words matter. Your perceptions matter. And you matter. One of my all-time favourite sayings is that you grow through what you go through. And boy, have I grown, and so has my passion to keep spreading the word about just how much inclusive, trauma-informed, neuro-affirming practices in education is the only way forward. We need all of our educators trained in responsive practices, whole school approaches to behaviour, and we need school leaders who are committed to no suspensions whilst kids are still growing into their skills and families are navigating early diagnosis. We need educators who are emotionally aware and resilient enough to stick it out. And when I stood in front of a room full of 500 people earlier this year at the very first therapeutic ADHD conference that I created, my final message brought tears to everyone's eyes. When I asked my son If there was anything he wanted me to share with everyone at the conference, he looked up at me and said, "Yeah, tell them not to give up, Mum. Just tell them, don't give up." Well, guys, that's it for this week. Thank you for joining in to the Child Charmer podcast. I hope that by joining this conversation, I've been able to inspire and empower you to go out and continue striving for better educational outcomes for our kids. If you're keen to learn more about the work that I'm doing in education, feel free to take a look at my website, www.chaostocalmconsultancy.com, and who knows, maybe I can come out and spread a little Chrissy magic in your school community. Until then,